Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to New Heights Educational Group podcast. My name is Kaden, a volunteer for New Heights Educational Group. For more information on New Heights Educational Group, you can reach us at www.newheightseducation.org or contact us via phone on 419-786-0247 or email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Today's show is going to be with our special guest, Sam Noblejas. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Kaden.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. And Sam Noblejas is going to share a little bit about her organization that she founded all by herself. But first, Sam, why don't you give us a brief bio about yourself?
Sure. I'm from Freeville, New Jersey, and currently I'm a senior at the Academy of Allied Health and Science, one of the local high schools here in Neptune, New Jersey. Basically, I entered high school wanting to go into some career in medicine, but I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. As the years went by, however, in my high school, I started to kind of define what I really wanted to do, and that's nursing. So next year, I'll be at the University of Pennsylvania for the dual degree program in nursing and healthcare management from the School of Nursing and the Wharton School. So I'll be heading off to college in August. But I can say that throughout my years in high school, volunteering has always been a really big part of my life, essentially. When I was a freshman, I started volunteering at a local nursing home at the hospital about a few minutes away from my house. And I really like that. I like working in the hospital setting. I like being able to talk to the patients and interact with other people. So I started, expanding my horizons with volunteering in general. I then began volunteering at another local hospital that's next to my school, Jersey Shore University Medical Center. And from there, I used volunteermatch.org, actually, to look into other volunteering efforts. But a lot of my volunteering kind of made me open up my eyes to the needs in the community and the needs in global areas as well, such as in the Philippines, which is where my family is from. So I started Rosario's Library in 2011, and it's basically an organization with a mission to collect, organize, ship, and distribute books and school supplies to schools in impoverished areas in the Philippines. I've been going there quite a bit. I think last summer was my 9th time being able to visit my home country, and I really noticed that there was a big need for books and school supplies because poverty and corruption and a lack of funds for education, it really hinders the growth of students themselves. So in Rosario's Library, I was able to garner a lot of support from the community, and basically that's how it started. It started off really small, but over the course of the past 2 years, it's grown to a very big thing in my life, so I'm really happy about that.
Awesome, and I know that for those who aren't familiar, I also go to the Academy of Allied Health and Science. Sam and I are very good friends. And when she started this venture, she asked me if I would like to help her. And, of course, I said yes. It was very exciting. And I remember staying at a Kumon, which is a tutoring place that her parents owned, packing boxes and listening to music, and it was just such a great time.
So it was
really fun in the beginning. And it was great to be a part of that journey and seeing where it's ended up now. So basically, I just wanted to ask, because I'm familiar, but I know the audience may not be familiar. So you mentioned that as you started to volunteer more, you became more aware of the needs not only in the community in New Jersey, but also in your home country of the Philippines.
Yes.
And so would you say that was your inspiration for founding the library, or what got you to really think, well, this is what I want to do specifically in my organization, and, you know, what was the creative backing behind that idea?
Of course. So, like, as I said, I've been lucky enough to visit my home country multiple times in the past, and a really big thing that I noticed was that there was such a huge disparity between the wealthy and the poor, as it is in a lot of other third world countries. And I noticed that, you know, here in the States, a lot of times the resources, we really take it for granted, like the books that we have, the technology resources that we own, and the school supplies that we're able to use on a daily basis. We use so much of that, and yet we really don't realize how important it is as we grow as students and as people to have these things. And so basically, as I kept visiting and stuff, I came up with this idea back in 2011, and I thought, hey, why don't we garner some support from the community? A lot of times these books and these school supplies, they're just being wasted. A lot of schools, after a few years, discard their textbooks. A lot of people have books lying around in their house. So why don't I garner that support from the community, make it a really good cause, and be able to help those kids in the Philippines who don't really have the same amount of resources or the same level of resources that we have so readily available to us. So we started off really small, and it's been growing pretty well. We garnered a lot of support from local schools, local organizations, but I really found it great, because not only am I very close with my family back in the Philippines, who have also given me a ton of support, but the name of my organization itself, my grandmother on my mother's side, her name was Rosario Bedianes, and she was actually an English teacher back in the Philippines. And so coming from a background like that, education has always really been a really important part of my family's life. She was a teacher before she raised her kids, and my parents are both teachers. So I feel like education has always been a really, really big factor in my own life. So I wanted to see how I could transpose that importance in my life and bring it to other people as well. So that's basically how everything got started.
Awesome. And so I know you mentioned that you did go to the Philippines recently, last year. I think that was the first time that you were able to distribute books personally to those in need in the Philippines. So I was wondering if you can explain kind of how you set it up. I know, you know, we packed books together and had shipped, but I was wondering if you can just explain your experience when you went there. How did you go about distributing these books and supplies when you got there?
I guess I'll start from the beginning. Basically, you know, you can only do so much. You can plan out going to the Philippines and giving these books, but you have to start off with a plan, and you have to figure out, okay, where am I going to run donation drives and all of that stuff. So a lot of planning went into the preliminary process of starting up this whole organization. You and I, like, you've helped me a lot with this, and a lot of my other friends have too, but we started contacting local schools, churches in the local area. I know one of my very first book drives was at St. Rose of Lima, which is a church that I went to growing up, and a ton of other organizations and local establishments. So basically the whole process was that we started writing to them, and we started placing boxes in places, and a lot more people started hearing about it. We started up the Facebook page, which I'll talk about later, and we got a lot of support. A lot of people were very receptive to the idea. A lot of people donated their books that they were lying around at home and their school supplies. And suddenly, my school, the school that Kaden and I go to, Allied Health and Science, they heard about my organization. And it was actually perfect timing, because Kaden's actually on the strategic planning team for our high school, and the strategic planning committee was actually coming up with the idea to revamp the media center. And the media center previous to this whole project was filled with medical books and just, you know, regular library books that you would find in a high school. But a lot of those books needed to be cleared out for the renovations and the changes that would be done. So our school was planning on discarding the books. Now, Kaden was gracious enough to be able to talk to them as part of the committee and bring out this idea that, okay, Sam has this organization. And we worked it out. We worked out the negotiations and everything. And the school, thankfully, was able to donate over 1,000 books to Rosario's library, which I was really grateful for. So a majority of the books came from, like I said, local schools, local church drives, and a lot of them came from the media center. And I was really, really happy about that because all these books that were going to be discarded were going to go to a good place. And I really felt happy about that inside. So fast forward a few months, this past June, in late June of 2012, I went to the Philippines, and I lived there for about 2 months. And during my time there, I really wanted to focus on not only seeing my family, of course, but I really wanted to focus on the core reason as to why I started this organization and why I started this whole project. So we contacted different schools in the urban areas, as well as the rural areas, some of the other rural provinces. And what we were able to do was all the books that we had packed in New Jersey, we packed them in these, they're called Balikbayan boxes, and they're really, really big boxes that you can fit a lot of stuff in and send them to the Philippines. So after we were done packing, sorting, stamping them, arranging them according to level, we put them in the boxes, sent them over. So by the time I was in the Philippines, they were there already. And what we did was we sorted them again according to the audience that they were going to be catering to. So we had elementary school books, high school books, even medical books for colleges. So we sorted them out there once I got there, and my living room was completely filled to the brim with books all over the floor and stuff. But we started distributing to local schools. We started off with one of the elementary schools in Tondo, which is kind of a district of lower socioeconomic level in Manila, which is the capital of the Philippines. So we started off with that, and as time went by, we started contacting other schools and other schools in, like, let's say, the rural provinces. So it was really great. I got to visit Bulacan, which is a rural province that doesn't have as much educational resources as, say, the urban cities do. But the reason it was so important to my heart was that my grandmother, Rosario, for whom the organization was named, this was actually her hometown. And what we got to do in Bulacan was that we kind of noticed this elementary school in the area. It had about 500 kids in it, catering to grades, kindergarten to around fifth grade. But a big thing that we noticed was the lack of a library itself. So we did a lot of negotiations, but after a while, we were able to start the initiation of constructing a library there, which was really great. So a huge fraction of the books that we sent over to the Philippines, we were able to furnish this library with. We brought in shelves, tables, and so essentially now that school has a really small, but starting to fill up with books, library there. So it's another school that we plan to supply more books to in the future. But overall, I was really, really happy to be able to see the full impact of what the project was, because kind of like when you start a project, you think, okay, this is what I really want to do. But when you finally see it in front of your own eyes and you finally see everything basically coming to fruition, it kind of makes me feel really happy that, you know, one man's trash is essentially another man's treasure. I really feel like as a kid, I read a lot of books. I loved reading as a kid. And you know, it might be cliche, but books really carry a lot of knowledge that can get people far in life. And that's kind of what I want to do for those kids in the Philippines.
You say that you were able to establish kind of a mini library within that school.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I know that you mentioned that you were able to pull a lot of the schools together. So how did you figure out how to distribute, like, based on who needed what? Like, how were you able to cover so much ground in the 2 months that you lived there? Because that's
right.
Quite extraordinary to be able to contact all of these places that are in need of books and then to organize the distribution of these supplies and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the schools in the area, we kind of targeted basically the ones that were in, like I said, socioeconomically depressed areas. Like the first elementary school that we went to, it had about, I want to say, over 5,000 kids from kindergarten to eighth grade. But the big thing was that their library, I actually went to visit it, their library was maybe not even as big as some of our own kitchens, which is very, very shocking because you think, okay, there are all these kids here, but where are the resources? Where are they fulfilling their knowledge? Like, I noticed that there was a big, big lack. So I was able to contact all of these schools, and my uncle is part of Rotary Club of Manila. And Rotary Club is an organization that exists here, too. They basically, their whole focus is doing service to other people. So he was a part of the Rotary Club of Manila chapter, and I was able to meet a lot of people in the club, some of his fellow club members, and they were able to recommend a lot of places where I could, you know, distribute the books and everything. So as we did that, we started communicating with everyone based on how many books that were sent over. By the time I was in the Philippines, I want to say there were over 2,000 books that were already there. So what we did was we took those schools and we based it kind of on population. We basically took the books and we made it proportionate to, I mean, how big the schools were and stuff like that. Like, of course, we gave, like, a lot more books to the school with 5,000 kids as opposed to, like, the school with 500 kids, but I found that even though there were so many places that we had to distribute to, we were able to get a great fraction of the books to each of those schools. And although it was my first time going over there, even though we have distributed to those schools already, we keep in contact with those schools as well, so that the next shipments that come over can also go to those schools to, like the Bulacan school, to furnish their library, to fill it up with more books, because clearly there's a really big need for it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so I know that when we used to pack books, we did it a little bit differently than when I recently helped you out a couple of weeks ago. So I was wondering if you could share with the audience some things that you've learned from the experience, because obviously I believe that it was your first organization that you founded by yourself. So obviously going into it, you're working out the rough patches and things like that. So it would be good to share with the audience, and especially if people are interested in volunteering and doing things like this, some of the things that you've learned in doing this and things that you've corrected or improved upon in the process.
Of course, yeah. Like, as you said, when we first started, and Kaden was with me on this from the very beginning, we would get the donations, but we were so overwhelmed because we literally started off thinking that we weren't, I mean, we didn't think we were going to get, like, thousands of books in the beginning, but as the time went on, we realized that we were having this big influx of books getting in from the donation drive. So we would go to my parents' workplace, and this is where we packed all the books. We'd put them all, I think the very first time we packed, we filled up a U-Haul truck full of books. We're very, very overwhelmed with everything. So we basically spread them out throughout the room, and we were like, oh, my goodness, how are we going to do this? We have stamps, little stamps that we stamp each book with that says Rosario's Library on it. And essentially we had to stamp all the books and get them into boxes and stuff, which is a tedious thing to do, but with a lot of help, we were able to accomplish this. But one of the things that I noticed was that when we were packing them in our first shipment, I guess, we weren't as attentive to sorting the books themselves, as opposed to making sure that, okay, the books that go to elementary schools are going to be in this box. It was kind of, it was kind of rough. It was like a rough patch with the organizational process, essentially. But as the time went on, and as we've been doing this recently, we've realized to kind of sort them in a preliminary fashion. Like, these are going to go to colleges, these are going to go to high schools, these are going to go to elementary schools. And it's become really a lot more efficient, the whole counting process, because we do count every single book that goes into the boxes. So in that sense, I can say that I learned a lot. In a different sense, though, I can say that volunteering, I mean, no matter if it's with Rosario's Library or with other things, communication skills are really, really key when you want to do a whole lot of volunteering. I feel like you, it's only so much to want to help other people, but you really have to put yourself out there, kind of break out of your comfort zone and be able to communicate with other people, because, you know, like in the real world, we'll need to communicate with other people in the workplace and stuff, but communication skills are really key, especially when you're contacting people you want to work with, just like I did, contacting people to help out, just like I contacted Kaden and a lot of my other friends. So I can say that volunteering has really helped my communication skills, put them on a whole new level. I think without it, I probably wouldn't have changed as much, but I can say that I definitely improved in that way, in addition to the efficiency of the packing process.
Awesome. Okay. That's great. Especially, you know, because these things are difficult, obviously, especially for a teenager to do by themselves. And so any kind of advice, any encouragement, things like that is definitely great to have for somebody who's just starting off. Because I know, like, maybe if you had more guidance or more advice, maybe things would be more easier for you in the beginning. But I know personally you didn't have, you know, too terrible a time. But it's always good to share your experience.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a little rough in the beginning because you know what you want to do, but you don't know exactly how you want to go about it. And luckily I was able to get support from my parents, who helped a lot in the process as well, giving me advice and everything. But yeah, I can honestly say that in the beginning, if you're doing a whole startup like this, you'll have rough patches in the beginning. You'll have, you know, maybe not as great of efficiency as you'd like to, but it's a really big, not only are you helping other people, but it's a really, really big learning process for you and those involved. I can really attest to that because I've learned quite a bit about myself and about, you know, the whole social responsibility that we have as, you know, future global citizens, essentially.
Great. So now I want to turn it over to ways that people can help. Especially one of the reasons why I wanted to invite you on the show is not only to have you share a little bit something about your accomplishments in the organization that you've developed, essentially pretty much by yourself with the help of some of our schools and me and some of our friends, but I also wanted to get the message out there. I wanted you to be able to advertise your organization and get more support from different communities. So I was wondering if you could share with the audience ways that they may be able to help, even if they're not living necessarily in New Jersey or nearby, but ways that they can help or spread the word about Rosario's Library.
Thank you, Kaden. Yeah, of course. It's honestly really great. I'm in the New Jersey area, like Kaden said, but there are tons of ways that you can help and spread the word. We are on Facebook, actually. If all you have to do is search Rosario's Library in Facebook, or you could go to www.facebook.com/Rosario's Library, without a space, of course. And on there, we have a lot of pictures. We have a lot of information as to current donation drives that we're having and all that stuff. And you can get updated and share photos and everything. I find that social media has gradually developed into something that we can really use as a tool in order to help other people. Like, we have the whole, you know, social media spectrum, you know, wasting time on Facebook, as they say, but, like, I've noticed that with the growth of a lot of these social media websites, we're able to do a lot with spreading the word about our social responsibility and charities and local nonprofits. So if you want to visit, like I said, you just search Rosario's Library in Facebook. Check out the pictures that we have there. And if you are in the New Jersey area, you can contact me anytime on the page, or you can contact me on my cell phone, which is 732-642-1972. So those are a few of the ways that you can help spread the word, maybe like the page, share it with your friends. Any form of support is honestly very, very much appreciated.
Awesome. And so while we have a little bit of time left, I would just want to ask, do you have any remaining thoughts of insight or wisdom or words of encouragement that you would like to share, I guess, in summation to the audience about
Definitely. Like, I know a lot of people like me, we're teenagers and, you know, we're not exactly in the workplace yet. We're not quite adults, not quite children, but a lot of people are wondering how they can help in some ways. Like, I'm just a teenager. Like, how can I possibly make a change in the world? But really, you don't have to go to, like, extremes. You don't have to, you know, save the world in, like, one day. But all that really is to it is, you know, you have to address a need. Find a need in your community that is really close to your heart. Personally, education and my home country are really, really close to my heart. So you want to make sure that it's very important to you, whatever volunteering thing that you're doing. And I think one thing really to remember is that you really need to take initiative. If you really want to help, you know, be innovative, contact other people. If you find that need in your community, start off something. Like, don't be afraid to break out of your comfort zone, because I find that, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work out. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, the people who tried are the ones who are happier than the people who said, oh, maybe it won't work out. So that's pretty much the big advice that I can give. Definitely break out of your comfort zone. And if something is very, very important to you, just know that nothing's impossible in the world of being able to help other people.
Well, Sam, I just want to say thank you so much for coming online with us. I really appreciated you coming online, and I'm so happy to have been able to feature you and your organization on our show.
Thank you, Kaden. Thanks so much for talking to me today.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, so our next show, the March 23rd, is going to be on the Christian Athletic League of America. So stay tuned for that. I hope to see you there. Thank you once again to Sam Noblejas for joining us this week, and to Pamela Clark, who oversees our radio venture, who is the founder and director of New Heights Educational Group. Once again, thank you to the audience as well for tuning in, and we hope to continue to receive support from you, and thank you again.
Troubles come.